Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's your Michael Caine?
You want me to do my Michael Caine?
Let's do Michael Caine. And is this like, is this late Michael Caine, like Batman, or is this like
Caine? This is like,
Blame It on Rio, like I'll do any movie that comes along, Michael Caine.
The Italian Job, like really early Michael Caine. So Michael Caine, it's very, you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. She
Not
was
bad.
Only 16 years old.
You know what? Not bad. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good hearing in my ear. The control room likes it as well.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
The exterior of the convention center in downtown beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. It is noon on a Wednesday Eastern time, but it is 5 o'clock somewhere as the happy hour is here, presented by Applebee's, served by Applebee's. Jay Croucher, Matthew Berry here live from Radio Row in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. You know, we're the Fantasy Football Happy Hour.
Yes, Matthew.
But we have no happy hour type accoutrements.
Accoutrements, okay.
Well, just like you know, because we normally do our show at a bar.
Sure.
And we drink and we do bar-like things. And this is a desk.
It is a desk.
Yeah. So, and I would say it's a happy hour, but it's 10 a.m. It is 5 o'clock somewhere, but it's 10 a.m. here local time. And I don't know if it's particularly happy. It's an hour.
Where are you going
this? Is it particularly happy? I want America to know what's going on right now. So literally to my left is Pro Football Talk. And so our friends Mike Florian and Chris Sims, by the way, Chris Sims is coming up later coming up later on the show. So is Jonathan Taylor. So we've got the definitive Jonathan Taylor interview coming up in just a few minutes here. And Chris Sims will be, you know, in one interview with Chris Sims. Pretty sure he did the definitive interview yesterday. At any rate, so we'll talk with Sims. But next door, Chris McCaffrey.
Yeah, I can see him.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want everyone to understand. I was like, oh, Barry, you know, you got your name on the show. You go over to NBC. Like, this must be, you know, now, and now you got the big set. You're at NBC. Fancy time, right? Oh, no. Don't you understand? Like, you know, like fantasy royalty, Chris McCaffrey has chosen to talk to freaking Sims and Florio, but not us dumb animals. And adding insult to injury, they're pre-taping it. So basically we have to hear, while we're trying to broadcast live, we literally have to hear them talk to Chris McCaffrey.
Yeah, you get to listen to my Michael Caine impressions.
Yes.
Like it's talked to the best running back in football.
Anyway, so you should tune into Pro Football Talk later in the show to see, you know, them talk with CMC. But just so you know, just if you understand, like you're like, hey, Barry, just if you were wondering, like, hey, coming over from ESPN, would I still be on low rung on the totem pole?
Oh, no.
This is yes.
Oh, no.
This is yes. I'm still there. I'm still low rung on the totem pole. It's all right. It's fine. It's totally fine.
This one's really gotcha.
Yeah.
How you liking Phoenix, Matthew? How's Radio Row been for you?
You know, it's been really good, actually. I had a really fun day yesterday. I went, I did a couple of different podcasts. I did a bunch of different podcasts, you know, and I get dragged into all these different ones. But Cam Hayward's here, and he has a podcast, so I did that. That was a lot of fun. I never met Cam Hayward, so that was just cool. He's a massive human being.
Yeah, I think the big thing about being on Radio Row is that you really appreciate how NFL players are just completely different specimens.
Oh, yeah.
Like sitting next to Mark Andrews yesterday, yeah, big person. Reason he plays in the NFL and tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, and I sit in my hotel room practicing Michael Caine impressions.
Yes.
That makes sense.
I like that you practiced it. just in case it might come up on the show. Yeah. And then I, you know, I'm friends with all the guys over at The Ringer, and so I did Slow News Day with Kevin Clark, and I had a lot of fun, good conversation with him as well. So those podcasts are out if you want to check those out, in case you're like, you know what, I just need more Matthew Berry in my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You watched LeBron last night, Matthew? I know you're a big Lakers fan.
I am a big Lakers fan. It was a historic moment. It was amazing. Kind of got chills. Like, I'm excited for LeBron just because I'm a LeBron fan, right? And as a Lakers fan, I'm excited that he did it in a Lakers uniform. That clip, sure. the fadeaway jumper from the left corner, and that'll be the clip that's shown, you know, until somebody else comes along. You know, he's in a Lakers uniform. He's wearing the six.
It was a good shot too, but unfortunately, I was cheering strongly against it. I tweeted out just before the game that there was a bet that you could make,
yeah,
on LeBron to break the scoring record during the fourth quarter at +250. But he was +140 to break it during the game. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense that it's +250 for the fourth quarter.
No.
But +140 for the game to get to 36 points. He's not going to get to 36 points in three quarters.
No.
But he's on 34 points with 11 seconds left. And all of a sudden, I need the Lakers just to get through this last 11 seconds of the game. And then he'll definitely score 2 points in the fourth quarter. And so I'm like, double team him, make him pass. And then he goes into the move. And my man, Josh Giddey from Australia, doesn't do the double team, starts covering someone else. Meanwhile, Thomas Bryant is under the basket, like calling for the ball. And LeBron's ready. You're not getting the ball, Thomas Bryant.
No, come on.
Shot's going off. And then LeBron fades away. I think that's probably like a 41% shot. And it goes in. My bet loses with 10 seconds to spare. And they storm the court, which just made it even worse. But congratulations to LeBron. I lost my bet, but you did something impressive, LeBron.
I like the fact that, you know what's great about you, Jay, is that, you know, we've only been working together for, a couple of months now, but you've really embraced the spirit of the show, which is to somehow make everything about you.
Yeah.
Which is usually, I mean, that's been my shtick, is always to make it about me.
And I learned from the best.
Managed, right, 1,000%. Like, you're really a quick learner here, I mean, as well, right? I mean, LeBron James is the NBA's all-time scoring leader.
I don't care.
Right, and it was just like about your dumb bet.
What about +250?
Right, you're +250 as well. That is a bad beat. I mean, you just needed 10 more seconds.
It's as bad as it gets.
And the other thing that's crazy about this is, from what I understand, we've been out here, and so I've been focused on, you know, so much Super Bowl stuff. But from what I understand, you know, there were questions like whether he was going to be able to break it in this game or the next game. They have a game in 2 days, I believe.
Against Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee. And most people assumed, based on averages, everything like that he would break it against Milwaukee. So all these tickets got sold to the Milwaukee game, you know, like $5,000 for nosebleed seats. I mean, it's just insane prices for these tickets because everyone's like, I want to witness history. And then he does it. Can you imagine that now you've got the game after?
Well,
you spent $10,000 on two tickets to go see LeBron against Milwaukee, and he's got the record.
Well, the thing is that when he hit his outfit going to the arena, he was dressed in all black, kind of like myself, actually. We look very much the same.
Yes.
He clearly had made up his mind that last night was going to be the night. He was taking a lot of shots. He did it very efficiently. He wasn't hogging the ball or anything, but it's just amazing to me that a 38-year-old can just decide that they're going to score 36 points tonight in the NBA and do it with ease.
There's a lot of talk about whether he's the quote-unquote GOAT. You know, I don't want to turn this into embrace debate kind of show where we're like, is it him or Jordan, right? I mean, like, I saw this comment yesterday on Twitter from someone, and it's not my thought, so I apologize, but I thought this was really well done. And the thought was, in essence, basically, that Michael Jordan's probably the greatest of all time, the true GOAT, just because of, you know, his body of work, like the six titles,
6-0
in the finals, six titles, the domination, everything like that. The person said, but just top to bottom in terms of who's the best player of all time, it's LeBron in terms of just the ability that he has to do every single thing he can, right? I mean, and just like this in terms of the defense, in terms of the shooting, in terms of the passing. I mean, you know, like, he's top five all time in assists. You know what I mean? The defense, just every single thing you can do on a basketball court, he can do at the greatest level of all time. And so it's just, I thought that's probably right.
Yeah.
But I mean, LeBron, there's one other clip that I'll just say here about LeBron. We're off on this LeBron tangent. But J.J. Redick I saw a great Instagram video on J.J. Redick, who was just talking about the fact that everyone, like, is complaining about, and he was complaining about the J.J. Redick weirdly was complaining about a segment on First Take on ESPN about the fact that, you know, they were like, ah, maybe, you know, that maybe LeBron wasn't the greatest scorer of all time. Like, you know, they and you're like, and J.J. Redick was like, what are you talking about? Like, again, he's top five in assists. He's top five in points per game on, you know, on average. Like, what do you mean he's not that great a scorer, that it's just because he's been playing for a long time? And yeah, it's just like, it's just insane, insane takes for insane takes' sake. And this is, that was J.J. Redick pointing it out. And anyway, if you can find that on Instagram, it's really worth going. But it was, it is, it's greatness from LeBron. And to your point, like the fact that he's, you know,
38
years old and able to do that is remarkable, and play it like still at the highest level in the NBA. Yep. Speaking of people playing at a high level.
Yes, Matthew. Good
Jonathan
segue.
Taylor is one of those guys, the presumptive number one pick in fantasy football this year. You know, didn't have the touchdowns he wanted. Tough year for the Colts. But what's in store for him in the future? Right now is the definitive Jonathan Taylor interview. Let's go. Let's bring in Jonathan Taylor.
Under center, Ryan. Again, hands off to Jonathan Taylor. Big run. 40, 45, 50. Breaks it outside. Down the far sideline. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. 10, 5. And he is close to the end zone. Can he stay in? Yes. Touchdown. INDY. A 66-yard run to pay dirt for Jonathan Taylor.
There you go. You just heard the call of Jonathan Taylor taking it to the house against the Las Vegas Raiders. An electric run, number 28 on the field, number one in your hearts. Fantasy football royalty Jonathan Taylor joins us now on behalf of Ascent Protein. So, Jonathan, do you remember that run? I'm just curious, that game against the Raiders?
Yeah, that run was, it was really special just in the midst of everything that was going on in the middle of our season. So to be able to kind of provide a spark and have a play like that, especially the things that transpired, it was really special. But I knew that it was all 10 other guys on that field that helped me achieve that play. And I was just happy. I was just happy how we responded, you know, especially things that went on the previous week. It was a really good feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine that was a lot of emotion. It was crazy with the coaching change and everything that was happening there. You mentioned this season and the struggles of that season. So, Jonathan, just tell me, like, in your own words, how would you assess your past season for you personally?
This past season, especially from a personal standpoint, definitely not the way you want things to go. But we played a game of football, which is very special. It has a lot of adversity. It builds character. And so not only for myself, for everyone in that locker room, being able to go through a season like we just had, it's only one thing you can do, and that's grow from this kind of season. You can either grow as a player, grow as a person, and that's what I'm going to do myself throughout this offseason, and I know the rest of my teammates in that locker room will do the same. But when you go through a rough season like this, especially speaking to a lot of the veterans that's been in the locker room, is how can you evaluate yourself and how can you grow in this offseason?
Yep. Jonathan, I know you had ankle surgery late last month. How's the recovery process going from that?
Oh, it's been going great so far. I've been very fortunate enough to have a very special team around me with the training staff in Indianapolis, as well as partnering with Ascent Protein to help me get back on my feet. I just feel like being able to surround yourself with the right people that care about you, that care about doing things the right way, is something that is going to help me get back on the field even faster.
Yeah, Jonathan, this is, you know, you mentioned everything that you're doing this season. I'm curious, we're a fantasy football show, and do you play fantasy football? How often does it come up in your life? I'm curious.
I played fantasy football once in college. It was kind of tough to keep up with the lineups when you got weightlifting, meetings, practice, school. So it was really tough. But I could definitely see why so many people get into it, because it is fun. It is exciting. You get to root for some of your favorite players and they help you win against some of your lifelong friends. So it's definitely a great, great thing to have and to do throughout the fall. But that's the last time I played was my last year in college, 2019.
Well, when you get to actually play in the NFL, you don't actually need to play fantasy football. We play it because we don't have the abilities that you do, Jonathan. But as you look towards next year, what goals have you set for yourself?
So I actually had an interview a couple months back with Austin Eckler, who's, you know, he does the huge fantasy football deal.
Yeah.
And I actually speaking with him, I really like fantasy football because it really helps you connect with your fans. Your fans trust in you. Your fans believe in you. So they're like, hey, I want Jonathan Taylor on my team. So not only for myself, I would love to do well next year, but you also want to do well for your fans because, you know, there are a lot of people that stick by your side through thick and thin. They'll pick you up in their fantasy team because they know and trust and believe you put the work in the offseason.
Well, yeah, because you know you were the number one pick. You were the number one overall consensus pick in fantasy football going into this past season. I've already seen some early rankings. You're going to be high next year as well in terms of the rankings. You're top five for me personally as well. But how were fantasy football managers to you this past year as the Colts struggled with adversity? Is there anyone we need to beat up? Is there anyone we need to yell at?
There were a lot of fans who were, hey, I trust and believe in you. You'll be back on your feet in no time. And then, you know, you always have those guys who probably had a bit more at stake than others. And, you know, they weren't as pleased. But at the end of the day, they all said, hey, I hope you get healthy. Can't wait to see you go crush it next year. And that's what you want. That's why you love your fans, because no matter what happens, they have the right to be frustrated. But at the end of the day, they just want nothing but the best for you. So I'm excited to get back out there next season.
Jonathan, in 2021, you had a sneakily big season in the passing game where you had 360 receiving yards. You had some massive plays in the passing game. It wasn't as present in your game this year. Do you think that's something that you'll expand going forward, being more utilized as a receiver?
100%. And that's something that I've been pushing ever since my second year of college, is just making sure that I'm a complete back. You know, you go into college as a freshman. In high school, I was very used to downhill, ground and pound. And then, you know, you start realizing, hey, if you want to be really successful in this league, if you want to play in this league for a long time, you need to be a complete back. So ever since then, I've done nothing but continue to work on that game. I'm excited this upcoming season in order to expand that even more, because every single year, you just get that much smarter. You get that much more experience. So I'm excited.
We're excited as well. A lot of change going on in Indianapolis in terms of the coaching staff, in terms of the quarterback. You're not sure. How do you prepare for it? Have you talked to the team as well? Have you talked to Chris Ballard? Have you talked to any people around the organization in terms of where they're leaning or what they're trying to look to do in the upcoming season?
It's definitely tough to figure out what, you know, direction we want to go in. It's a really big decision. You know, you're talking about who you want to lead an NFL football team. I think the best thing that not only myself can do, but the rest of my teammates in the locker room is, one, we got to just prepare physically for anything that the head coach may want to throw at us as far as a new system. We need to make sure that you come into camp in the best shape possible. And then on the other hand, it's just making sure that you're doing everything possibly you can in order to better yourself this offseason. We went through a lot of trials and tribulations last season. So how can you grow from that as a person and a player? Those are only two things I feel like that us players can do in order to make sure no matter who steps into that role, they have a unit that's ready to go.
Jonathan, for fantasy purposes, is there someone in Indianapolis who's not on our radar yet at running back, receiver, tight end, who you think might be in for a big season next year?
Definitely just be on the lookout for Deion Jackson. I'm sure you guys have saw glimpses of it, but just the amount of experience that he's gotten this past season, it's going to be huge in the offseason. I know he'll utilize that in order to not only get 1% better, but I can just see him shooting up tremendously this offseason. So I'm excited to get back to work with Deion because I know he puts the work in every single day. So I'm really excited for him.
So listen, Jonathan, you know, when you know, it's one of those, if you know, right? So you just said you're in the backfield with Deion Jackson. You see his explosiveness. So I'm curious, for the Super Bowl on Sunday, the running game in both of these teams have obviously been a big part of their success getting to this game, right? So you got the three-headed monster in Philadelphia along with Jalen Hurts. You've got Pacheco and McKinnon in Kansas City. How do you break down these backfields? What do you see out of the game on Sunday?
Well, number one, I love Pacheco. He's a South Jersey guy. He grew up in Vineland, New Jersey, which is 35 minutes from where I grew up at Sale, New Jersey. So I love the way how physical he runs. I also love Jet as well. I mean, his pass protection is excellent. But the running game in Philadelphia, you mentioned the three-headed monster, but not only to add on top of that with Jalen, I mean, that's really tough to defend, especially when your offensive line is playing very, very well. I think it's definitely going to be tough for Philly to run the ball, but I think they have the tools equipped to make it happen.
Jonathan, I can see some Ascent protein in the background, which I know Matthew Berry could use. He's been giving the hotel gym in Arizona a proper workout. I know you've been using Ascent since you got drafted in 2020. Can you tell us what made Ascent your go-to protein?
Well, first off, just going through the draft process, there's a lot of information that you get given. And the number one thing is you are in control of what you put in your body. So being able to partner with Ascent before I even entered the league was something that was huge for me, because you get kind of nervous on, oh, what products to use? No, what's legal, what's not? You know, you never want to put something in your body that's against the rules. So knowing that Ascent is a clean product, there's no artificial flavors, no artificial sweeteners, there's no additives, I felt really safe. I felt really good throughout my training knowing, one, this product works for me, and two, I know that no matter what happens, everything in this product is within the rules. So I never had a thing to worry about in my mind.
Well, listen, as a fantasy football manager, Jonathan, who will be drafting you in many leagues next year, I am rooting for Ascent and for you to have an amazing season. Before we let you go, one last question, and congratulations on all the success so far on and off the field. My last question for you is Sunday. Who are you rooting for? And just give me a prediction. I know you like the Philadelphia running game there, but you're also a South Jersey guy, and the Chiefs are AFC. Who are you rooting for here, and who ultimately do you think wins?
The score is definitely going to be unpredictable, but when you're playing as well as the Philadelphia Eagles are playing together on offense, defense, special teams, it's really hard to beat. Now, I will say you do have a pretty good chance with Patrick Mahomes going up against them, but It's just hard to beat a team that's playing well on all three phases. So I think Philadelphia takes this one. My guy TJ Edwards, who played linebacker with me at the University of Wisconsin, I'm hoping that, you know, he plays lights out because he's been working really hard for this moment.
All right, we will see if the Eagles end up winning. Anyway, listen, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. Again, thank you to Ascent for making you available to us. We appreciate everything. Good luck this upcoming season, and we'll be rooting for you from the sidelines, my friend.
No, thank you guys very much. And if you ever need any more protein, just let me know.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Absolutely. We will hit you up. That is the definitive Jonathan Taylor interview. And when we return, headlines as the happy hour rolls on.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just for fun, Where do you think Garoppolo goes? Where would you like to see Derek Carr goes? If you could wave your magic Australian stick, your boomerang. Did you have a boomerang as a kid?
No, I didn't. Maybe a toy one at one point.
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Doesn't every kid in Australia get a boomerang?
Yeah, we ride kangaroos to school as well.
I knew it.
Yeah, we
in do. The little pouches.
Yeah.
Like you hop in and of course.
We do.
That's what the pouches are for.
All right, we are back on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Albanese, called me last night, Matthew, during the Lakers game. He's not happy with you perpetuating all this ridiculousness, these stereotypes about Australia. We've got pouches, we've got magic Australian sticks. I don't even know what that means.
It's a boomerang.
Okay.
It's for me, it's to explain the concept of a boomerang to people here in America. As a kid, I had a boomerang.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
I did. I had a plastic
boomerang.
You're
lying. Just making that up for content.
I had a plastic boomerang. You know, completely. So you had the Australian Prime Minister on the phone yesterday. Did you bitch to him about your plus 250?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Listen, Anthony, we can talk about Australia or we can talk about LeBron James selfishly taking a fadeaway with 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, you should have said Look, yes, Matthew's perpetuating all these myths about Australia in terms of like the kangaroos driving us to school and every kid being, you know, given a boomerang. But he's never once mentioned like Australia's filled with thieves, which is another myth that's perpetuated, but I'm not perpetuating that.
That's a truth, though, Matthew. So that's okay. So that's fine. We're okay with truth. Yeah, we've got convict blood.
That's
what makes my Michael Caine impression so good.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to talk about Derek Carr?
You know what you should do is you should work on a Kylie Minogue impression or Nicole Kidman.
So the thing is, if I do the Michael Caine, which is like a 6.5 out of 10, people will be like, oh, have you got any other impressions? Like, no, I've just got this
one
6.5 out of 10 Michael Caine impression.
Michael Caine impression.
But I'm working on a Ryan Gosling.
I don't have... absolutely. I have no impressions whatsoever, except for family members. Impressions that won't make sense to anyone other than like six people.
You got the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's 4 out of 10.
Yeah, that's right. It's getting there. All right. Raiders have granted Derek Carr permission to talk or visit with the New Orleans Saints.
Mm.
I don't understand why they didn't give Jameis Winston more of a run. I don't understand why they were so connected to Andy Dalton, also attached to him at the hip. Jameis looked okay to start the season. I thought that, and Derek Carr, who is definitely an improvement on Jameis Winston, but I really don't understand the situation in New Orleans. I do think of potential landing spots, that is one of the better ones for Derek Carr. I think that tying yourself to Chris Olave is probably a good idea because that guy is going to be a superstar. They've got some other weapons, obviously Alvin Kamara. We'll see what we get out of Michael Thomas. But do you think that the Saints make
moments,
sense for
Carr? You saw moments out of Rashid Shaheed down the stretch. You saw moments from Juwan Johnson last year as well. And so, yeah, they have some pieces there in New Orleans. It's worth noting that Dennis Allen was the Raiders head coach when they drafted Derek Carr. Now, Dennis Allen was ultimately fired by the Raiders, so you may be like, you're going back to that well. But, you know, ultimately, I do agree. And also, you know, this is a defense that this is a team that will play indoors in the turf. If you're Derek Carr, it's a good defense that you're playing with. And you think about that division, like, you know, that's as good a division as you could land in after having to face Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and the Denver defense. Now you go to who knows what Carolina's going to do? You know, who knows what Tampa Bay's going to do? Like, at the moment, it's Kyle Trask and Sam Darnold, right?
If the Saints got Derek Carr, then all of a sudden they're minus money to win the division. They're shorter than the field, I think, just because of the state of the rest of the division, to your point. And I do think that Carr, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who we'll get to Aaron Rodgers in the darkness in a second. But
right.
I do think that Derek Carr, outside of Rodgers, he's the quarterback you most want if we assume that Lamar Jackson is off the board. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo needs to be seriously downgraded as a quarterback based on how good Brock Purdy looked. So I think Carr is the guy that you want outside of Rodgers.
He is by far the biggest name and most viable franchise-ready pro quarterback that is available. Right, to your point, assuming that the Ravens franchise tag Lamar Jackson and that he ultimately, one way or the other, works his way back to Baltimore. And we had Mike Florio on earlier in the week talking exactly about that and that, you know, we'll see how it manifests itself, whether he gets franchise tag, you know, exclusive or non-exclusive and what have you. But it just Lamar Jackson does not currently have representation, so it's hard to see him, you know, maneuvering that. He's likely back with the Ravens next year. I agree with you on Garoppolo as well. We'll talk about that in a second. Rodgers, we'll get to him as well. Derek Carr is based on both age and availability, because he's 100% available. We don't know if Rodgers is coming back. We don't know if Rodgers will be, you know, wants to be traded, you know, because he's got the trump card of like, hey, I can just retire.
Yeah.
Right. So Derek Carr is the best youngest quarterback that is also 100% available. So I agree with you. And like, I think you can win with Derek Carr.
I agree. I think you can also win with Ryan Tannehill. And the Tennessee Titans, they name pass game coordinator Tim Kelly as their new offensive coordinator. Promotion from within. I think the Titans, who have largely been written off, like the Titans are in the bottom six, bottom seven for Super Bowl odds next season. I don't really understand that. I think that, you know, another year with Treylon Burks, who I think is really exciting, and then Tannehill being healthy, I think that this offense could be a little better than people expect.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. Like, they always compete. Yeah, I mean, again, like, Malik Willis wasn't ready for prime time last year, but I think they'll have Tannehill back, and so we'll see if they can help develop Malik Willis. But I agree with you. Like, it's going to be a solid defense. It's once again going to be a very winnable division. I mean, you know, like the Jaguars had to beat them in week 17, and like it was and they had to beat Malik Willis. And so we like the Jaguars, and we think that's an ascending team. But the fact, I mean, like, you wouldn't sit here and go like, well, there's no way the Titans can get past the Jaguars next year. Like, you.
Yeah. I think there's the idea that the Jags are going to own this division now. They've got Trevor Lawrence. Like, I don't think the Jags are going to be like the Patriots in the AFC East under Brady and Belichick. I think that they are the best team in the AFC South, but certainly that they will be beatable. And yeah, I wouldn't be writing off the Titans consistently every year. Like, I thought that maybe the best coached game of the entire season was what Mike Vrabel did against Kansas City in primetime, where ultimately they lose that game against the Chiefs, but he just pulled he pushed every right button. They always play hard. They always overachieve. Yeah. They're always a team that everyone thinks, oh, they'll go under their win total, and then they always, unless they get injured, they compete.
And by the way, so Tim Kelly was the passing game coordinator, so they're keeping basically the same system. They're upgrading him to offense coordinator. And obviously, as long as Derrick Henry's there, this is going to be a run-first offense. But you mentioned Treylon Burks. How about my guy, Chig Okonkwo, who came on down the stretch as well?
Yo, man.
The rookie tight end from last year. So suddenly there's a couple of pieces, and maybe they draft somebody this season, or they add a high-quality free agent in the wide receiver. Like, Tim Kelly being the passing game coordinator, now being the offensive coordinator, makes you feel like maybe they do want to open it up a little bit more, especially if Tannehill is back under center, which is what we expect.
Yep. Okay, the Vikings are hiring Steelers linebacker coach, former Miami head coach Brian Flores, as their defensive coordinator. Yeah. I think that this is just, there's only upside with the Minnesota defense.
It's a home run move.
Yeah, and look at what Flores did with Miami's defense last season, and then how much they fell off, I think, relatively this season. I think that Flores, in terms of his defensive chops, I mean, there's no doubting what he's achieved. And there's only, you can only go up as the Vikings defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, they're going to have to fix the personnel, but just in terms of scheme fit, I mean, like, last year, the Vikings just did not blitz. They had the eighth lowest blitz rate in the NFL. Meanwhile, as you think back to those Dolphins teams that you mentioned, when Flores was in charge of the Dolphins, they had the fourth highest blitz rate from 2019 to 2021. Why do we care about that? Because it just means, like, in terms of, could the Vikings be a viable fantasy defense? Potentially, right? Because they're going to get after the quarterback. They're going to try to create turnovers and sacks. And so I just look from it's much more of an NFL story than a fantasy football story. But I think it's a home run move for the Vikings, who obviously haven't figured out on the offensive side of the ball. Defense is what costs them. Like, everyone wants to kill Kirk Cousins for the last play of the playoff game against the Giants.
Kirk Cousins was great in that game.
Yeah, he had a bad last play where he threw short of the sticks. I get it. You know, like, hey, why don't you throw a long ball to Justin Jefferson and try to see if he can come up with a 50-50 miracle? But whatever. Kirk Cousins, 100%, that loss was entirely on the Vikings defense. Daniel Jones did everything he wanted to do, and like, it was clear that the defensive side of the ball had never, like, watched a lot of Giants tape. And, you know, you heard quotes after the game, like, wow, Daniel Jones was a lot faster than we thought. Watch a game. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's not like they suddenly wheeled out this brand new offense for the playoff game. Like,
yeah. I don't understand as well. I know that the personnel isn't great on the Vikings defensive Correct. Side, but at the same time, like, they have Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, Harrison Smith, Patrick Peterson had a really good season. Like, there should have been, I think, enough talent that that should have been a more competitive defense and not a defense that made Daniel Jones look like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. Exactly right. Should have been a lot. I mean, it's a home playoff game.
Yes.
Play with a little pride.
Yep. Exactly. When, particularly when you think about what the Giants did the following week, where they looked completely overmatched against the Eagles, and the Vikings were a team that were competing for the 2 seed until the final week of the season. Let's get to Ezekiel Elliott. He is expected to take a large pay cut to remain with the Dallas Cowboys. What do you make of Zeke?
Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing this because, you know, that day is coming for me very soon when I have to take a massive pay cut just to stay at NBC.
Yeah.
By the way, it might be tomorrow, just so you know. But anyway, so I'm fascinated to see how this pay plays out, especially because as it relates to Tony Pollard. Right now, the other piece of this report is that they're expecting to franchise tag Tony Pollard. And I think if Ezekiel Elliott were back, like, ultimately, we don't care about the money, right? I mean, like, if whatever Zeke makes, if he makes less, the fact of the matter is, for our purposes, if Ezekiel Elliott's on that roster, they're going to use him. Like, and they'll use him in a similar way. You know, I think you would, what we had over the second half of the season, every week we would rank Tony Pollard above Ezekiel Elliott, and that'll be the case going into next year, assuming both guys are back with Dallas. But this does somewhat limit Tony Pollard's upside. I think he's a borderline top 12 fantasy running back, top 10, top 12 fantasy running back. But if Zeke weren't there, he's top 5.
Yeah, I suspect we may be reaching the point, if Pollard comes back entirely healthy from the injury, which we expect him to, that if he is back in Dallas, that just his level of production is just going to become so overwhelming to the point where he needs to be the lead running back, clearly. And then Zeke maybe is still the goal line back, which is going to hurt Pollard from a fantasy perspective. But Zeke, he's not likely to have the same, just the sheer amount of touchdowns that he had last year. So you know, I think that Pollard is still someone you can draft pretty
quickly.
You know,
like, this is like just kind of a lazy comparison, but you know where I could see it being next year is I could see it being kind of, and not like, it could be like Alvin Kamara to Mark Ingram back in the day.
Sure.
Not like last year, but like, you know, they're like, Alvin Kamara was clearly the fantasy superstar, but Mark Ingram got enough touches to A, be sort of flex-worthy usable, especially when he would fall into the end zone, and also used enough that sort of annoying, you know, to, you know, if you had Alvin Kamara. So just kind of that, I could see that where, you know, Pollard's clearly the one, but Zeke has enough of a role. Because I just think if you're Ezekiel Elliott, right, and you say, like, hey, man, I'll take a pay cut. Like, I understand the economics in the NFL. I understand what we need to do. I'm happy to take a pay cut so that I can remain a Cowboy. I want to be a Cowboy for life. All that stuff is great. But I could see him then saying, but if I'm doing that, where I'm getting the ball, right? Like, yep. I'm not taking a pay cut to then just sit on the bench and cheer him on.
Yep, no, absolutely. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, who plans to attend a darkness retreat where he will contemplate his future before making any decisions. He said on the Pat McAfee show, I've had a number of friends who have done this and they had profound experiences. This is just a content fiesta, Matthew. I actually do a darkness retreat every morning before looking for prop bets. And I come out of the darkness thinking that Kenneth Gainwell over 19.5 rushing yards might be a good bet. So I'm fully supportive of this from Aaron Rodgers.
I too do a darkness retreat. It's usually about midnight and ends around 8 a.m. Yeah. Yeah. Or when my kids get me up.
This
yeah.
is great.
It's a darkness retreat. I have so many questions about this. I have so many questions about this. Like, okay, first off, why? But if you want to do this and they've had profound results, okay, fine. Why tell us about it? Why tell us about it? Like, and the answer is because Aaron Rodgers is a lot of things, but one of the things he's really smart. And he completely understands, like, this is a way to get people talking. This is a way to get guys like us and every other show is going to bring this up and talk about this. And it's just like, just do it, man. Like, it's just like, do you think he's purposely leaning into the weird stuff that, like, I want people to think I'm weird? Like, I'm just like,
do you think he's got like a publicist saying, Aaron, you should talk more about ayahuasca, you should talk more about darkness retreats?
Hey, it's the Super Bowl, everyone's gonna be talking football this week, you're not in the Super Bowl this year, here's a way to keep your name going, you know? Darkness retreat.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and the Darkness Retreat, by the way, is a band that I would see.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to go to break when
anyway,
we come
whatever.
Back.
This is, real quickly, just to, I, don't care how much darkness he's in. Whatever. He's playing football next year. He's not going to the Hall of Fame the same year as Tom Brady. He was playing football next year.
There you go. And a reminder that you can get the Draft Guide bundle from RotoWorld. Every season is draft season. You can use the QR code on your screen to download the RotoWorld Draft Guide. Promo code Barry. All right, when we come back, Chris Sims is on the set. We will talk everything around the Super Bowl, and we're also going to talk big hats.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Yeah. Hey, little bet between me and you.
Let's
team that wins, the other loser has to wear a big hat on, this show.
I like where your head's at. That's okay, right. I like that. Yeah. All right,
with
now.
With my hairline, I need big hats.
Yeah, you do. That's right.
That did not end well for me.
Yeah, the G-Man.
Chris Sims, the Giants, and the referees in that game conspired to make sure I'm wearing a big hat.
That's right.
Big hat Brian Robinson will be joining our show later in the week as well. And so...
Good, put it on. I'm glad it's you because I got my hair. I can't do that.
Dealer's choice. You want me in black or white?
Let's go with the white, actually. With your outfit, I think it'll match better. I like that better.
Fair enough.
Wow, good look at this. Oh, whoa.
So we were. It took us a while. By the way, you know, everyone laughed at Brian Robinson for wearing it in that post game, and like he's a genius because now they're everywhere.
Yes,
everyone's doing it.
Yes,
and like we had to pay this bet off now because we literally couldn't get it the next week in time.
They
for
were like sold
night.
Out, right?
Yes, I mean it's like ridiculous. Yes. So anyway,
anyhow,
and by the way, my hairline actually looks pretty good.
You're right.
With this. It's fantastic.
An improvement.
Yeah, no one. I might just wear this the rest of the show. Rest of the week because it's like you no longer go like, hey, what's going on with the bald guy? Now you're like, who's the guy with the big hat?
Right, right.
I might wear this out tonight.
Try it out. Try it. Let's see.
Anyway,
I'm sure people will take you really serious in these interviews.
No one takes me seriously in any of these interviews.
Oh, what do you got to talk about?
Should we talk about another thing that Chris Sims beat you on?
Sure.
Joe Burrow, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's talk about it.
There was a little discussion. Let's hear it from the preseason.
Oh, we got a flashback, too.
You and I aren't going to be in a fantasy league this year.
Right.
Who would you rather have, Joe Burrow or Tom Brady?
I mean, Joe Burrow all day. Tom Brady
Well,
in real life, it's not even close.
Don't take the bait, Matthew. We're going to break. Do not take
Joe
the bait.
Joe Burrow was in the
Super
Bowl.
I've dealt with this. I've dealt with
Tom
this.
Tom Brady wasn't.
I've had this fight with him.
The first Joe Burrow
had this fight with him.
Tom Brady's not.
Don't let him do it to you.
All day, every day, I'm taking Burrow or Brady.
Burrow or Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Burrow or Aaron Rodgers.
I'm taking Burrow right now. 100%. Burrow's one of the five best quarterbacks
in the
game.
At least he's consistent.
The views and opinions of Chris Sims do not reflect the opinions of this show.
Interesting set back then. It looks like an X-Men film.
Set was a work in progress.
Maybe you should say that they do reflect the show.
I was just going to say, first off, it's clear that this segment was produced by Chris Sims.
It's all right. I'm sure we have
like,
some.
But yeah, listen, like, good kudos to you. A great call because... obviously, both fantasy and real life, Burrow had the better year than Rodgers or Brady. And by the way, not close. And, I mean, I thought that was a crazy take back then based on, like, I thought just, you know, I thought Burrow was good, but I didn't think he would take the step that he did this year right. in the way that he did. And I didn't think Rodgers or Brady would fall off the way that they did.
I didn't either. I was nervous from the fantasy aspect with that comment. Like, the fantasy aspect, I didn't think you were crazy there. I understood what you were saying.
Well, especially with Brady. I mean, Rodgers, it was like, okay, that makes sense just because he lost Devontae Adams. We don't know if these rookie wide receivers are going to step up. But with Brady, like, what's weird is that, to me, Brady still looked like Tom Brady. Other massive injuries on the offensive line. You know, Godwin started slow, and then Evans got hurt. And, like, it just – the passing attempts were – like, just from a fantasy perspective, the passing attempts were there for Brady and everything. Yeah. Like, the offense was still the same. They just – they couldn't score any touchdowns.
No, they could not. No.
You know, but
he,
like,
he'd still, like you said, he could still throw at Brady and do that. He just needs – he needs a certain formula around him to be able to do that. And that's what I was – you know, fantasy and reality don't always match up the right way. Burrow, to me, was clearly in reality before the season. To me, just my experience of the game, I saw it all going upward where I was like, ooh, I got more the sense at the end of last year that he had, like, finally cracked the code, right?
Yep.
It wasn't like a one-year, one-year wonder type of thing. I kind of felt like, oh, no, he's gotten comfortable, and it's only going to get better here with some of those weapons around. And sun shines in a dog's ass every now and then.
No, listen. It was a great call. Listen, I'm wearing the big hat. Like, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'm happy to admit it and fall on the sword. And you saw just a monster year coming from Joe Burrow that I didn't. I mean, I thought he was going to be good. Like, I had him ranked inside my top 10, but I didn't have him ranked inside, like, my top 3 or 4. And so,
the thing with Burrow, too, is week one, he throws, what, 5 picks against Steelers, then really struggles against Dallas.
Right.
And then after that moment, he was basically the second best quarterback in the NFL, I think, behind Patrick Mahomes. But we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Feels like a topic we should hit at some point.
Let's
zoom out a little bit. I want to talk about the playoff bracket to this point as we take a look at the final full playoff bracket and which teams and disappointed in the postseason. Is anything to leap out from that, Chris, in terms of just teams that underwhelmed?
No, well, I can't say that I really look at it and go teams that underwhelmed. I think the final four were the only thing that I thought. I thought the Bills might be there just because of the injuries on the Bengals offensive line. Right, but the Bills weren't good enough to take advantage of that. I don't know if there's really been any surprises, and I'm not trying to sit here and pat myself on the back, but I think to this point I'm like 11-1 picking these games. But I don't think this is that crazy. I'm not trying to say I think this year was a year that was kind of chalk. The only game that I thought was like kind of a toss up, at least in the divisional round, was the Bills Bengals.
Yes,
Giants. Vikings, I don't think it was a shock to anybody, right?
But no, upsetting. It's like a three-point line.
Exactly. So the rest of the playoffs, I think, have kind of gone. I don't think anything crazy has happened. It's been underwhelming a little on the NFC side, just the way it shook out as far as the Eagles and the Niners game, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. So listen, you were right on Burrow over Brady, and you were right with your Giants beating my Commanders.
I know where this is going.
You were however, about Jalen Hurts. You were actually, Chris Sims, you were actually trending on Twitter today.
I heard, I just heard that.
Yes, which is smart. Stay off it. So my question is first off, like, Jalen Hurts was my ride or die. And I know in the beginning of the year, you questioned whether he could be the franchise quarterback. In fairness to you, that was a question a lot of people had, especially in Philadelphia. Why didn't they? I remember in the draft, and they didn't take a quarterback, and so
there's a reason they were in conversations for the quarterbacks that were on the market the last few years. Right. But you were all over it.
Jalen Hurts was my ride or die. Right. I was all in, and I did think he could take that third year leap. But my question is I just wanted to give you the forum just to address that at all in terms of Jalen Hurts, because I think that the narrative is that you hate Jalen Hurts.
I know.
And I have had conversations with you privately. I know that is not the case.
No, it's not. I have tremendous respect for what he has done. I'm just trying – listen, you guys know me well enough to know. I studied the game. I really work at it. I know I'm not always right, and maybe this is one I'm not going to be right about. We'll see. But where it's become a little bit of a – is just where it became a hot-button topic with the Micah Parsons comment a few weeks ago, right, when he was kind of like, I don't know, is it Hurts or is it the team, right? And that's all I've kind of trying to say. Hey, he's taking advantage and done a great job. He's obviously a big-time starting quarterback in football. I was wrong with my preseason ranking, all of that. But we've got into a thing now here where we're going, and statistically in the fantasy world and all that, hey, it's awesome.
Right.
I know, I
He's
get
amazing.
It. But now we're putting him in the class, to me, of a group of guys that I don't think he's there yet. That's all I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell people a little bit is playing quarterback for the Eagles is one of the easier jobs at quarterback in football right now.
But isn't the counter to that? Like,
right.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. But isn't throwing to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd with Joe Mixon and, you know, also a pretty good, you know, a pretty good gig in the NFL?
There's no doubt. You know, I know. But, you know, no rushing attack there. We still know that they were one of the worst pass-protecting teams in football. You know, and they play through him completely, where I would go, they don't play through Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. They have an offense, and he is an important part of it that makes them more dangerous, right? But in every big drive in the year, we can go back through it, every big drive. You know what they do in those big drives? Hand the ball off. Every big one. And all I'm trying to say is, again, he's really good, but when you run up the middle for eight and run up the middle for eight and then throw a wide open RPO slant route and A.J. Brown runs for 20 yards and then it's run up the middle for eight and then it's, hey, jump ball to A.J. Brown. That is different to me than what we're seeing Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert do. And all I'm just trying to say is he's not in that class yet. You know, those guys can run, I think, almost – to the capabilities he can run. You know, but people don't want to give them credit. And I go, well, yeah, because they don't have to. They don't have to bring that element of the offense because they do other things at such a high level that they don't have to take the risk of hurting their quarterback's shoulder and, oh, is he going to be right for the Super Bowl? So that's all I'm trying to say. But, man, I am getting my butt beat by people on social media.
Well, listen, I'm not, luckily, because I've been on a Jalen Hurts, and I believe in him as a franchise quarterback, as a number one. And I said he would make a Josh Allen-like leap, and he has. Chris Sims, we have to let you go.
All right,
thank you so much. Appreciate you. We'll check you out on Pro Football Talk. You can yell at him
out
on Twitter, at CSimsQuarterback.
All right, we are live from Phoenix all week on Radio Row on Peacock. Dan Patrick's show kicks us off 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, followed by us on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, 12 to 1, then PFT Live, and then we close out with Brother from Another.
But one of the cool things about being on Radio Row is you see all these legends walking by, you see all these players, and we're joined by one right now, Sean Alexander, fantasy football royalty. I don't know if you even are aware of this. I know you know that, whatever, 2001, 2005, five straight seasons with over 1,600 yards from scrimmage. You had at least 16 touchdowns in all those seasons. But do you know that you were the second best running back in fantasy football in terms of total points in those 5 years? Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Fantasy football royalty, Sean Alexander, and in terms of points per game, you were the third best running back in fantasy over a long stretch. So, pleasure to have you, fantasy football legend Sean Alexander.
Yeah, fantasy football has been special. You know, when it really got going up a little bit higher, people were walking up to me in different cities. We hope you lose, but hey, go off again. I need your touchdowns. I was like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, of course.
I never played fantasy football at that time, and so it was wild.
Now that you are retired, I've heard from a number of players that once they get out of the game, whether it's with their kids or whatever, they've started to get into it. Have you tried it since you've stopped playing?
I have not, because I don't want to look negative at anybody. But my kids play it. My neighbors, a lot of my friends are playing. A lot of old teammates are playing it.
You up for advice?
They I'm are. Sure. Now, that's what's happening. They're like, hey, so do you think so-and-so could do this and this guy? I'm like, yeah, he should get about 80 yards. You think he'll score? Yeah, he'll definitely score against 50. And they're like, they hang up. I'm like, whoa. I thought we were going to have a conversation.
Right.
I'm a scout for him.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go.
Sean, are there any running backs in the league that you most enjoy watching now? Anyone that leaps out in particular?
Well, gosh, you know, Deebo Samuels is, to me, as a running back.
Yeah.
You know? so he's good. Dalvin Cook is just special. You know, I played with I was coached by Stump Mitchell. So anybody he puts his hands on, Nick Chubb, you know, yeah. they're gonna have a lot of yards and score touchdowns. And so yeah, there's a handful of guys I just enjoy watching how they play, staying in between the tackles and making big runs.
Let's talk about the running backs in the Super Bowl coming up, because you've played the game obviously at the highest level. You study running backs. Clearly, you're a scout for your kids' fantasy team, so you need to know all these guys. So I'm just curious. Let's start with each team, and you know the Eagles are obviously known for the running. Like, talk to me about that running attack: Sanders, Gainwell, Scott, and of course Jalen Hurts as well. The dynamic he adds.
Yeah, you know when you watch. Jalen control the ball with the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's amazing because, you know, it's not normal for the quarterback to have not just not just a play. Oh, it's third and one, or oh, it's a, you know. But that's a part of their flow, so it makes it really special. You know, Lamar Jackson kind of reminds me of that too, much faster. but the other guys, you know, Kenneth Gainwell won my freshman player of the year in college, so I've been watching him grow and mature as a running back. I think he's like secretly one of those guys that, like, if he gets going, I bet you there's a stat that says the Eagles almost win when he has a great game because he's not the feature.
No.
So their running game is it's just special. Kansas City is just different. You know what I mean? Like, you never know how they're going to do it because Mahomes and how he plays. But the Eagles' running game is special.
Yeah, on Kenneth Gainwell, I mean, he's had 26 carries the past two games. Feels like they're looking to get him more involved. So I think he definitely adds an explosive element to what they're
doing. And the crazy thing about Gainwell is you mentioned you've watched him throughout his college career. When he came into the league, the argument was, oh, this guy's going to be a special teams player. He's too small to play running back in the NFL. He can't be the guy. And, like, he's proved a lot of critics wrong.
Yeah, you know, I just think for him, when I just watch him, the way that it is now, I don't know if, you know, it's like almost like they go back to, like, he's not Marshawn Lynch. Well, right. No. you know, he ain't beast mode. But, like, when you put him in the right system, you're saying, hey, we're going to give you 15 carries or 15 touches. I think he's a guy that you'd want on the team.
Yeah. Talking about Seahawks running backs like Marshawn Lynch, Kenneth Walker was a huge story this year. What do you see out of him this season? Do you see any of yourself in the way he plays?
Yeah, Kenneth, he's got an explosive step. So anytime there's about to be contact, it's not taught often. But his 1-2 to right for the hole is really explosive, and he has a nose for the end zone. So he is a fantasy jewel.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be better, even as they go. And, you know, especially when Geno was hot like he was, you know, it's going to make Kenneth even special.
Where do you live these days?
I live right outside D.C.
Okay.
You know, so I played, all those great years with Seattle, and I played about half a year with the Redskins, back when they were called Redskins.
I do remember,
And so my bride and I, we saw a farm out there that we loved, and we said, man, like, this would be a good place to rest. We're still resting.
Okay.
We're still resting.
So I am a lifelong Washington fan.
Yeah.
So I remember when you played for us. Here's my question. Somebody who lives in the D.C. area, do we have any hope with this team? Help me out.
As long as you got some Bama guys there, there's always hope. You know what I mean? So that defense talking, still plays. You
we're
know?
Talking with Brian Robinson later this week. What do you like out of him?
And
speaking of Bama guys.
He's a hard runner. You know, I think any time that you, bragging on my university, but anytime you go through the system where you've got all these great players in front of you, you humble yourself, you peep your nose to the ground, and you just grind, and you get to play your senior year, and then you get to go be in the pros. You have a great, phenomenal rookie year. Like, there's something to be said about that. So, like, that kind of person is always good for to build a team around. And, you know, so I'm pretty proud of Brian. This year I told him I was going to try to be around him a little bit more to see if I could add some tips to his game. But great player.
Thank you. As a Commanders fan and somebody who has Brian Robinson in Dynasty, yes, please.
You got a smart pick.
I'm going to open up the invitation for Brian Robinson. That's on his behalf, not that I know him. So we have just 90 seconds left. Sean, who's winning on Sunday?
You know what? I'm going to lean on I think it's going to be the Eagles.
Okay.
I really do. You know, there's something about the way they play defense. The trenches are tough on both sides. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Jalen.
It feels like everyone who's like me and Matthew, who are, spoiler, didn't play in the NFL, that we all like the Chiefs, but everyone who plays in the league seems to focus on the trenches, the fact that the Eagles' O-line is so dominant, their D-line is so dominant, and that's going to be the decisive factor in the game.
They work so well together. Like, that's hard to explain. You know, and I had a great offensive line when I was playing, and everybody remembers Walt and Hutch. You know what I mean? Those are two Hall of Fame guys.
Yeah.
But just all across the board, those five guys gel together, and good fullback and a good tight end, and next thing you know, the running back can get in the holes, cut back, and make big plays. The Eagles, they kind of carry that, and everybody that's played can see it, and it's just more obvious for all the guys that played.
I totally get it. Listen, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you need to plug? Anything we're plugging?
You know, I have created a great partnership with a group called Stand Together, and it's a bunch of businessmen, women, and philanthropic leaders willing to help anybody that can do good for the community, especially the poor. And we are now taking some people through the NFL, some NFL players and legends, through what we call the Community Influencers 101, and it's helping them impact the future.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.